Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time to have a conversation around the rising cost of health. And according to ProfMed CEO Craig Comrie, he's advocating for a collective focus on preventative healthcare and education. And this is on the back of several major medical schemes announcing double-digit increases for 2025. And he's of the view that health literacy and preventative care is the only long-term solution to help us knock down this healthcare cost. And he joins us to unpack this in greater detail. Craig, thank you so much for your time. So let's talk about this preventative care. What do we mean by that?
Yeah, good evening and good to be with your listeners. I think what we've seen worldwide is this real pressure build up in terms of healthcare inflation. And so it doesn't matter what we tend to do, it seems as if the healthcare inflation is always going to outstrip our ability to earn income. And it poses obviously a significant long-term threat to general healthcare access. And so we have to find interventions that make the difference, not just at the cost of people utilizing services, but actually reducing the amount of people that utilize the service or access the services. Now, it sounds a little bit strange, but the only thing that we can do is to actually up the supply of healthcare services, but make sure through preventative checks. And something we learned from COVID was that a flu vaccine, checking on our health more regularly, actually does garner long-term benefits for us. And it means that we don't have to just access the doctor, the hospital, et cetera, at the drop of a hat, which has been happening up until now. I think because people have had access to healthcare services, they utilize them. And what we need to do is teach people to utilize services only when needed and to find those other remedies and other ways in which they can educate themselves to actually look after themselves. Now, there's lots of literature that talks about if you change your behavior, how that would influence your longevity in life or your happiness in life and your health status. And so the focus for us and the way to do this is actually to make sure that people exercise, they sleep well, and that they do those key preventative checks like cancer-related screenings, depending on your health, and also that they're looking after themselves and are aware of their risk factors.
We'll talk about that in a bit. I want to go back to what you mentioned around healthcare inflation. I mean, what drives that?
So there are a few major drivers of healthcare inflation, and it's not dissimilar to both a private setting. So typically, I'm in the medical scheme market. So medical schemes, you mentioned earlier, and it is the fact that medical schemes tend to go up by 10% every year. That's not unusual just for 2025. That's in fact being close to the average of the increases for the last 10 years in medical schemes. In a national health context, and because national health insurance is such a topical item at the moment, we see the big national health systems in the world get under pressure because they're actually experiencing the same 10% increase in terms of the cost of services. And that comes dominantly through the fact that we are living longer, so we're accessing more health, but we aren't looking after ourselves, so we actually have the need to access more health. There is some technology, some fantastic new technology that's coming through that costs a lot and can save our lives, but it does mean that you have to pay for it. So these are things that actually drive up health inflation. And typically in a national health insurance scenario, there's been lots of debate about whether it costs 500 billion rand a year in South Africa or maybe over a trillion rand a year in South Africa. The fact of the matter is it's going to escalate at well above the ability of South Africa to earn income or tax revenue to pay for it. So you're constantly fighting this gap between 9 or 10% and maybe your wage or salary inflation, which is about 5 or 6% if you're lucky to be employed. So So this is the pressures that are coming through. Now, the only thing you can do about it is, I guess, like your last speaker, you need magnificent growth in the market. So well in excess of 5% type of growth in GDP. Or you need to be able to teach people to look after themselves and live healthier. And that reduces their the amount of services that they consume when it comes to health.
If you look at the period since COVID, I mean, there's so much that has happened. I think during that period, people were now, you know, sort of forced to go for those health checks because they then discovered, you know, once you contracted COVID or were exposed, you had these underlying issues that you were not necessarily aware of, and suddenly they were coming through, coming to the fore. But I'm curious, from your perspective, what have you seen when it comes to the uptake of medical aid? Are you seeing a steady increase, or is it still relative? The same sort of numbers that it was during that COVID or even pre-COVID period?
Yes, absolutely. During COVID, people all of a sudden found value in the medical scheme space because now you could get access to private healthcare facilities for treatment. And even in the private healthcare facilities, we know that there was queues and that there were lots of there was lots of pressure in that space. So there was a cycle through COVID where people valued medical schemes in a way that they have never done before. Since then, there has been, because of the economy, there's been a curtailment of the number of members within medical schemes, and they probably flattened out to similar levels, about 9 million people covered by medical schemes, and that's been the same for probably 14 or 15 years before that. So medical schemes have remained on the same number of people covered for the last effectively 15 to 20 years. And so it is due to the fact that affordability kicks in a medical scheme space. I think the alternative is, I think we fear some of whether you will get access to the right treatment in the public sector. And so the public sector can't invest. And we've seen the budgets, the medium term budget speeches come through now without any increases in the health funding allocation for the next few years, yet we know we can have a population increase. That means that the queues in the public sector actually get longer. Effectively, you know, for those that don't pay for that service, unfortunately, the access is going to be reduced, and that's access to really important healthcare services that we all need.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about these public-private partnerships, especially around the transport sector, around the energy sector. Should we then be having the conversations around those partnerships when it comes to the health sector? Or are we already seeing that? Or are we already hearing those conversations?
Yeah, we've heard the conversations for many years. There are a few real public-private partnerships that have worked tremendously well, some of them in the HIV space. But often the partnerships are a little lopsided. Either it is the fact that the public sector is looking for funding, not really a partnership, while the private sector still has the requirement, and the only reason they exist is to fund shareholders in the background. And so there is this quite tense and sometimes distrustful relationship when it comes to public-private partnerships. It is an opportunity, though. We need to get into that space as an opportunity to utilize the spare capacity in the private sector to reduce queues and improve access for those accessing health typically in the public sector. And there are some good examples. So one of them, we have a building, ProfMed has a building right next door to the Vitz Donegordon, which is an amazing public-private partnerships and in fact has a lot of medical doctors being taught in that facility. So there are examples. I think we need to get through this thing and plot out very carefully the agendas of each of the parties so that we can increase access to healthcare for everybody in South Africa. We really need to do that. Otherwise, we are going to be consistently struggling against getting the right level of scale, getting the right level of retention of doctors in the country, and making sure that we have enough funds available so that we can actually fund the services we need to provide.
When it comes to, you know, increasing that healthcare education and those literacy initiatives, what could we be doing better?
Yeah, so one of the big things that has come through in the last few years is, in fact, we've been hit with not the COVID pandemic, it really is the mental health pandemic that is coming through. We've seen in and amongst our own membership at ProfMed, between the ages of 15 to 35, a more than doubling of mental health-related conditions over the last 5 years. And so it's a significant increase. And so there's lots we can do in terms of educating, maybe removing the stigma of mental health conditions, but also making people aware that before you need to receive medication, et cetera, there are other healthy behaviors that you can monitor and watch yourself and make sure that you avoid the long-term chronic illness of mental health. And so that's something that we really need to be better at. We need to be able to teach people to look after themselves better.
Okay, so if we remember nothing else around this conversation that you and I have had over the past few minutes or so, what's the one thing you want listeners to be bearing in mind, especially around healthcare costs, or the one thing that you believe from your experience that we don't often think or talk about enough around the idea of these healthcare costs?
Yeah, I think I think you need to make it personal. And so it's more about the fact that your biggest investment is your own health. The fact that you can look after yourself, be more aware of the health risk factors that you might carry, and do something to change those health risk factors are the biggest investment you can make in yourself and into your future. The cost, if we all had to do that, the costs would naturally trend lower.
Craig, thank you so much for your time this evening. That is Craig Comrie, who is the CEO of ProfMed, talking to us about the rising cost of health and saying that it is a shared responsibility. But also a little bit earlier on, you heard him advocating for collective focus on preventative healthcare as well as education.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.